As you know, there's a lot of fires now happening along the West Coast again. And what's fascinating to me is that if you look at the fire map, they all stop at the Canadian border. And they also all stop at the Mexican border. And it's the first time, I think, in human history where fires, so-called natural fires, and some say, as California Governor Newsom has said, that they're all caused by climate change. Gee whiz, they all stop at borders. Isn't that amazing? Also, in southern Oregon, the fires have been strategically located every 30 miles. Now, that's the first time in history where a natural fire somehow starts every 30 miles. Isn't that fascinating? There's another thing, too, where satellites have photographed particle beam weaponry being used to start fires. Now, that's not climate change, and that's not normal either. And I'll be showing a video from that in just a minute. A couple days ago, I took a drive with some friends, my dear friends here from the Shasta area. We went up to Talent, Oregon, and outside Medford and Ashland, where these alleged, according to Governor Newsom, natural fires have been occurring. Well, what's interesting, and you'll see these in the pictures in a minute, that the fires themselves are, if you look at the pictures, one side of the highway has a fire, and the other side on the right doesn't have a fire. And then there's a fire for one block, and then you have a house and a business totally untouched. Then you have another block where just one vehicle looked like it had been fried, and the car tires and everything had melted in the car. In order to get that kind of temperature, you have to go up at least 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that's not a natural fire. That's not caused by climate change. That's caused by something else, by what I think is particle beam weaponry. But I want to give us, before I show you these images, I want everyone to pray for more rain around the California coast and Washington and Oregon to stop these fires. And secondarily, I'll show you how to do this. I want all of us to put our hands over our heart and ask for help from the Pleiadians. They have over 2 million ships right now orbiting planet Earth. They said they're going to help us with this. So let's ask the Pleiadians and Admiral Halosaurus. He's here, by the way. And they said that they would definitely help stop these particle beam weapons from being used. These weapons are about 5,000 years ahead of us. They're being used by the reptilians and some negative elements to try to destroy the great state of California, Oregon, and Washington. But they have the technology. The Pleiadians are 50,000 years ahead of us, and they have technology to stop that completely, but we have to ask. So we need help. We can't do this on our own. And I want us to all pray for help from the Pleiadians and from the God within all of us to bring a halt to these horrible fires, which are displacing so many people. And just for a minute, send lots of love and light to the states of Oregon, Washington, and Oregon for the help with these fires to stop them, to stop the particle beam weaponry currently being used. A lot of them are also being caused by arson, but they're not natural. They're not climate change.
Yeah, Brad here. You know, it's interesting, the topics that he brings up. And then oftentimes, as I'm talking to Ted on various forms of medium, whether it's telephone or internet and so forth, when he talks about sensitive topics, every now and then he gets cut off. And so he doesn't see that as a coincidence, right? So it's interesting when you think about the fires, and he's so nice about it. And I love how he poses everything in the form of a question. He's not trying to tell anybody anything, but he's trying to say, kind of wake up and ask yourself what's really going on. Use common sense and don't just listen to the story that's been handed to you. I am in California, you know, and it's like 1,100 fires started within 3 or 4 days of each other, you know, a month ago when it started, really? And then, like you said, 30, whatever. And he's got some great photos that actually show direct energy weapons actually being used and so forth. And when you go into some of these subdivisions and you see the houses are actually completely burned out, but the trees around them and the streets are completely untouched, then you got to ask yourself, what's going on? I think he's got some photos where the car he was talking about, it appears as though the car is actually just cut right in half. You know, when the energy weapon comes down and lights up a house, you know, if it misses the house and hits the car or whatever, you know, that kind of energy in a car is going to leave some damage. And then if it doesn't rage into an inferno where it destroys all that evidence, then you can actually see things that are really there. So why aren't we being told the right story? You know, probably most of us know why we're not being told the right story, but that's happening. And so the question now is like, how are you guys experiencing? Who else on the call was also from the Knapp area? Was that Dawn?
Yeah, that's me. And yeah. Last summer, we were spending the day with my grandchildren and my daughter up at Lake Berryessa. And so we're just floating around in a little alcove, and I'm looking down over the beauty. It's just so lush around the lake and everything. And I saw a little streak go down through the sky. And then all of a sudden it was like a mushroom explosion, and a fire started. We packed everything up, and we said, we need to get out of here because there's not that many routes to get out of Lake Berryessa. And when we finally got everything broken down and we're driving out, all of these fire trucks and people that carry animals, because there's a lot of horses up there, and they were all going up there. That fire was huge, and it raged, and it burned out so much of it. But to see this little streak during the day, just a white streak, and then like a mushroom cloud explosion go, when there was nothing, there was no smoke, there was no smoldering, there was no nothing. We'd been there since 8:30 in the morning.
But was this the streak, that the energy that came down, was it sustained, or was it like a lightning?
No,
or?
It was almost as if, did I really see that? It wasn't even like lightning. It was like a white glistening for a minute. And it's like, did I really see that? So that's why I was looking, because it's like, wow, it's just very faint. And then as I was watching, that's when I saw that mushroom explosion, and then that fire come out direct, you know, just seconds after.
Sure. Dawn and Brad, I got back on. I'm sorry I lost you there. Dawn and Doug, if you could please play the YouTube video for 45 seconds, and then we'll go back to in a minute. This is a YouTube video of particle beam weapons used to start fires. This one's directed up near Talent, Medford, Oregon, and just in Northern California. And the red there is the fire. And you'll see, there it is. See the line right there? And it's head right through the very top of California there. There it is in Northern California into the Medford area. And I want to show people that. This is actual satellite footage of the fire going on. You can see it getting much bigger now from that particle beam weapon. This is concrete proof that this is happening. And then I want to, if we could start, also, let's show some of those pictures I sent Dawn and Doug. Just have them on, just roll them through like for, there's the first one there. On the left side, you can see, this is the area where that particle beam weapon hit. This is in Medford, Oregon. Medford, Ashland, Oregon, a place called Talent. On the left side is where the particle beam weapons hit. And I've got, that's been hit by these weapons. On the right side, everything's normal. There's trees there and it's grass and green. Even the trees are fine on the left, but all these other homes and cars are completely melted. Let's see the next one then after that. Yeah. Here we go. Here's another one here. You can see somebody's mattress on the left there. All the trees are fine. Now, if this was a so-called normal fire caused by so-called climate change, I don't believe it, but that's what they say, you'd have the whole area in flames. Yet it's selective. It's like they picked out various businesses. You can see in the middle there, a car, we'll get closer. The car is completely melted. Okay, and then let's go to the next one here. Let's see here. Okay, this is if we could enlarge that, Dawn and Doug, a little bit. Oh, you guys are so good. Thank you. This is a business on the right side of the road here in between Medford and Ashland, Oregon. And you can see a tree, that's fine. But yet on the other side, you can see everything has been incinerated, completely incinerated. Now that's actually part of a refrigerator there, and part of it's melted. Now, how could a regular fire melt a refrigerator? The temperature to melt aluminum is about 1200 degrees. So anyway, let's go on to the next picture there. I've got I probably have 25 or 30 and I wanted to share. Okay, now this one's an interesting one because behind the trees on the right was a trailer park housing several thousand, at least 1,000 people. That is completely wiped out. And those, the spirits from those people who were killed by the particle beam weapons, came to me a couple nights ago, and they said, would you please say some prayers for us? Our lives are gone. Our families are gone. We were all incinerated by these particle beam weapons, and no one is recognizing this. There's been nothing on the media. And it's just amazing. So I want everyone to put lots of love and light and put their hands over their heart, and please send lots of love and light to the thousands of people in the Talent, Oregon area, in Medford, around Medford and Ashland, that who were killed by these particle beam weapons. That's the only explanation I can make. Just beyond this, that those things, is a whole bunch okay, here's another one here, right close to that. You can see all that rubble. That at one time, just about 2 weeks ago, housed, it was a trailer park, and it housed thousands of people. And it was amazing, but from what I could see in the Talent, Oregon area, the particle beam weapons seemed to only hit low-income housing. What happened to these poor people? Now they're gone. It's tragic. And you can see all the trees. If this was a so-called natural fire, the trees would have been incinerated too. But just a few feet from where all these homes or these trailer parks are toast, you can see actual grasses and flowers and everything. That is not a normal fire. That's not caused by climate change. That's caused by an intentional particle beam weapon being used to kill these poor people. And no one's acknowledged it. So I'd like to send lots of love and light to these poor souls who were incinerated during this fire. The same thing happened in Paradise in Malibu, California, about 2 years ago too. During the Paradise fire, about 50,000 people were killed. And in Malibu, California, another 30,000 were killed. Here, okay, here's this picture again. You can see it. So let's see the next picture here, if we've got it here. I can't remember, I think I've got five or six photographs all together as well. Is that it, Doug? I think it's, let's see if we've got any more. Okay, here's another one here. It's the same kind of picture here. You've got a vehicle right in front. You can see the back of it. It looks like the tire has melted in the back of that van. I saw cars being melted too. I don't know if I have it or not, but I do have pictures of cars which were melted. Now you need at least 1250, you need at least 1200 degrees Fahrenheit to melt a vehicle like that, melt the aluminum. That's not a typical grass fire. That's not a natural fire, and that's not climate change. I wish the media in the United States would ask the hard questions they need to. But anyway, I think we've covered all the pictures. I've got quite a few more. I've got like 30 pictures. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you all. Brad and Don and Deborah and David and James, if you're there, what's your take on all this?
Well, we were talking about it when we lost your feed there just a bit. Okay. You know, as this was happening, because I'm in Southern California, you know, so right. I'm experiencing this for sure. And you know, what was interesting is several months before this all started, the air quality out here was amazing. I would go for walks every day up into the foothills here and see the most clear, crystal clear mountains and, you know, the city view and so forth that the Silicon Valley has ever seen, because there's so much, you know, industry, obviously, that's shut down. There's no traffic anymore. So the skies and the views were just the most pristine I've ever seen. Your eyes just loved what you saw. And then, of course, all this is happening. Now, we found there was about 1,100 fires that were started over a handful of days. So my question is how does global warming cause 1,100 fires over 2 or 3 days? And like you said, within certain borders and then targeting certain objects. Right. And so it's like, I don't know that anybody could actually come up and provide evidence that would tie the two of them together. Okay. Right. So let's just say that the global warming thing, let's put that over on the shelf for a minute. You know, I don't know. So, but if you go for alternative causes here and you say, okay, somebody's got their finger on the trigger of a direct energy weapon or a particle beam coming out of space, right? Who is that? Why are they doing it? What's their objective and what's their strategy? So Ted, what do you think? We're witnessing all the evidence. Do we have any suspicion of the motives?
My purpose of my program is to make the world a better place, and I like to keep positive.
Yes.
So, and I don't like to dwell upon the negative.
Right.
So, And so for the, as far as the motives go, I think you have to, you know, it's the same thing. Why are all these fires being done up in Washington and California, Washington, Oregon too? I mean, you have the same thing. I mean, in Southern Oregon right now, up to 1 million people are homeless. And what are these people going to do? I don't know. Talent, Oregon is a little town just north of the California border. I was there a couple days ago. And the people I met were all very concerned. They weren't getting any help at all from the Oregon governor there. Nothing. She's not doing anything about it. It's like we're supposed to ignore it. I don't know. I'm at a loss why anybody would ever want to knowingly kill off humanity like that. I don't know. Right. I really don't.
And for me, you know, having an engineering background, it's always for, it's like, it's not the symptom, it's the root cause. If you go to the root cause and you can address that, then the bad things sort of dissipate in some sense. So you could go after that, and maybe many people are, and that's a good thing. But for us, I guess right now we can say, like, what can we do to help? What are the lessons that are being learned, and what can we do to help?
Yeah, well, I think what we can do is, what can we do about it in general? I know the Pleiadians have the technology that's 50,000 years, at least 50,000 years ahead of us, and Admiral Halosaurus is listening now. And let me bring him in and ask some questions, okay? I'm waiting, right, by the way, at this segment of the, at this part of the program, I have two Cherokee Native elders. I'm waiting for them to contact the program. I hope that they come in, but if not, we'll just continue with our discussion. But let me bring in Admiral Halosaurus now. Greetings, my beautiful brothers and sisters from planet Earth. There are some important spiritual lessons for you to learn during this time. The first is that you all have the spark of the supreme being or God within all of you, and you are all meant to make this planet a much better and happier place. Your governments, your mass media is not telling you the truth about what's happening on the West Coast with these fires. And it's a spiritual lesson for all of you to realize this and to rise above it and to demand that something be done to stop these weapons from being used. This is why we haven't fully responded. We have responded in many ways to avert crises and disasters, even worse than this one here you're facing. So know that we're helping you. We all love you so much. But you have to learn your spiritual lessons from this, because if we just came in and stopped everything without you learning the lessons, then they might be repeated, and we wouldn't want that to happen. We also accept free will, too, and respect it. So for us to help, just ask. Because we do respect free will. We're not going to knowingly interfere with the planet's evolution. But we will come in when asked to help. So let's all ask them now for help, because it's beyond our technological capability to stop particle beam weapons from killing many innocent people, especially in the trailer parks that I saw in Southern Oregon. They're all dead, thousands of people dead. And the spirits came to me a couple nights ago and they said, could you please say some prayers to us, because our lives have ended and no one's remembering us and we're not getting any help. And there are also up to 1 million people right now who are displaced in Oregon because they don't have any homes anymore. They've all been burned out and they're not getting any help from the government. Nothing, no one. So let's say some prayers and love and light to them, to these poor souls that have passed on, and ask at the same time, for rain for these areas, so that even if they're hit by particle beam weapons, that the rain will put out the fires, and to ask for help in stopping this disaster, and ask the Pleiadians for help. They will now. They said they will now help stop this. This is the same particle beam weaponry that was used in Paradise in Malibu, California, 2 years ago, but they said they would start helping, because they can feel the energy going out. Know that you're loved and know that you are ascending. This is why it's been so difficult. I am Admiral Halosaurus of the Pleiadian Confederation. Thank you so much, my dear brothers and sisters here on Earth. We are helping you.
I asked the Emerald, the laser I saw on Thursday night across the sky, did he fire or the Earth fire?
I'm sorry, what? The what?
Laser light I saw on Thursday night. The fire across the sky. Who fired is the Earth or the planet?
That laser light actually was part of, I got it was from the reptilians firing these particle beam weapons. That's what I got. That laser light. The laser light actually was the fire itself.
Yeah, I was up there for almost a minute, real, real long now.
Yeah, if you look, you can see the what's going on, you know, what's going on. So
and also Ted, for out here in California, when the fire started, because this is our third or fourth season now of having fires all summer. When you look at where they were building, where the state of California was building the railroad to nowhere,
right?
Those fires are all around that area.
Right.
And a lot of those families can't afford to rebuild because the zoning has changed. So they can't build in the same footprint
right.
that they were built in. And so it's odd about how these zoning laws were changed. And they kind of follow where those fires go. And, I mean, like my husband has friends who lived up in Paradise Valley, as do I. And all of their whole family retired up there. They've all lost all of their homes. Everybody in Paradise
right.
Valley lost
right.
everything.
Right. I've been told that there's a militia of 100,000 people armed with guns that are planning to march on Salem, the state capital of Oregon, to confront Governor Brown and ask her why she's not doing anything at all to help people. She's not doing anything,
good.
nothing at all.
Good.
You know, so that's a good thing.
Can I share something?
Sure, go ahead. And then I'm going to bring on my friend David, Cherokee Elder. Go ahead, my friend.
Before I came on the trip to Mount Shasta and, you know, I had my trip booked and everything. And I woke up one night. It was around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up because all I could smell was smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no fires here where I live. Nobody was having a fire. But I woke up, I opened up all my windows, and it was very strange that somehow that smoke manifested in
sure.
my bedroom.
Yeah, the spirits were bringing it to you. Everybody, I want you to stay. Please don't hang up. I want you all to join me in this part of the show. And I want to bring on my good friend David Cohen. He's with the Cherokee tribe in Missouri, and I'm also a member of the Cherokee. My great-great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee from the Trail of Tears. And David, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, Ted. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, my friend. We were just discussing the fires out here in California, and I was showing pictures of where it appears to be that there were particle beam weapons being used against the people and lands here in California.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. 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 I'm so happy to have you on the show. I wanted to focus in on your knowledge of Cherokee spirituality, and I think because we're talking about these fires today, how your perspective of these fires are, and maybe perhaps what the spiritual significance of fire is in general. But first, please introduce yourself to my audience, David. I'm so happy you're here.
Okay, well, all right, to your audience, and I will say Osio, which is the formal Cherokee greeting, and I'm the, actually, the healthcare elder for the United Cherokee Nation Aniawea, which Ted is a member of.
Thank you.
And as I said, I'm very glad to be here as well. I'm not sure where Carrie is.
Oh, well.
I'm here.
Oh,
there
Carrie.
She is.
Yep.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Hi, Carrie. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.
Afternoon on the East Coast.
Okay, great. Well, I know that fire is a way of cleaning the earth. And Carrie, please introduce yourself to my audience, if you will.
Okay. Well, I am Wildcat Carrie. Cherokee name is Walidikadi Kawa, which means Wildcat Carrie in English. And I am one of the elders as well, and I represent the Brown clan or the Deer clan within the tribe, which is for business and economic development. So David and I are both two of the elders of the tribe.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Well, I'm so honored and happy you both could come on today. Yes. What do you think the spiritual significance of all these fires are? Is it cleaning the earth, or what do you think?
David, now that's, go ahead.
Oh, okay. That's a tough one, Ted. The Cherokee believed that fire was in, it was, came from the upper realms. Okay. That's where all the eternal beings were, in fire. And you're right. They would use fire to clean the earth. But I'm like the gentleman a while ago. I have to wonder exactly what it is these people are doing. I mean, if it's being done, how do I say this? If it's being done by a higher power for a higher purpose, then okay, you know, it's one of those things we don't understand, but we have to go along with. If this is being done by human beings for nefarious purposes, that's a whole different story. I must tell you, I am at a little loss to explain, to say which way I'm leaning on these, because there's the pictures you show. Those are pretty damning pictures, but then there are others that say, no, it's not quite that way. So I tell you, Ted, I don't know. I really don't know.
I've got 30 more pictures that I could have spent another 2 hours showing everyone, but I just picked a sampling of them now. Mm-hmm. There's no logical explanation for fires which burn up one block right. Later it's green, another block it's there. Then right. tires melted. Entire low-income areas where people without a lot of money live in these trailer parks, and they're all toast. They're all gone. And then
because it takes more. You were talking about 1,200 degrees. It takes more than 1,200 degrees to melt a tire. Yeah. So so that was a hot fire, buddy. Whatever that was hot.
Sure.
Okay. And also, my grandmother's house burned down, and there was still remnants. These places, there's no remnants. It's like they're dustified.
Right. I agree, my friends. I do wanted to get into Cherokee spirituality here in just a minute. But since we were talking about the fires, I thought this would be a good lead-in. We're getting, I got a little message that someone wants to share a bit about this. So if you could, that would be great.
You bet. This is Don Newsom. You know, I lived in Paradise. I was one of the people burned out. And I'm kind of familiar with what happened, because I took pictures, lots of them, around the property. I knew the neighbors very well, and the trees didn't burn. Not many of the trees, just right up against the houses, they kind of charred. But most of the trees, around the area were left intact. Everything was melted to slag, literally slag. The gold and the silver and everything slagged out. The metal was just, we had metal roofs, and everything was literally crumbled and slagged out. And what we realized is that some of the people on our, at least on our street, that didn't have the smart meters, their houses remained. Ours that had the smart meter, and those others that had the smart meter on our street, they burned up. Wow. And when I took the pictures, I noticed that near the smart meter, it was powdered dust, literally everything. Wow. Everything. And then the further away you got from the smart meter to the back end of the house, it became more chunky until it was, rather really chunky towards the right side of the home, away from the smart meter. So somehow the smart meters played into this. I believe that. I'm not quite sure how, but I did notice that those people, again, on the street that didn't have the smart meters, those houses remained. Now, I had 6 vehicles on the property. I had motorbikes, a motorhome, other vehicles. And they were literally burned to a cinder. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was a lot like those pictures, but even worse, because there was nothing left. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, Ted, I have to. I know you say you're trying to keep this positive, and I understand. Unfortunately, we live in a very negative world, and you know, I don't need to tell you this. You know what I'm saying. And there are people who do not want, who do not like other people. That's, I don't know how else to put it.
That's true.
They just don't like other people.
Right.
They have.
It's like a Clint.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like a Clint Eastwood movie, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly. I mean,
yes,
this plant's mixed bag, you know.
It's true. And there have been people who have been trying for 100 years or better, probably longer than that, to longer than that, because one of the Greek philosophers, and I'm trying to remember which one it was, speculated that there were too many people on the earth then, and this is 300 years before Jesus was walked the earth. So for 2,300 years, people have been trying to tell us that there's too many people on the planet and have been speculating on how to get rid of all the people. And many of them have simply not had any qualms about doing whatever was necessary to remove them. I know that's a disturbing thought,
yeah.
But all the more reason for people to take heed to what they sign up with, to take heed to what they believe in. Because these ugly ideas get into your heart and your soul, and then first thing you know, you're thinking just like them. And you have to be careful with this stuff. The gentleman said that he had the smart meter and the houses with smart meters were burned up. Well, I have no trust in smart meters at all.
Yeah, right.
Those are switched out automatically for you. It's interesting. That's great insight to see that they are a beacon, that devices and satellites and so forth can sense those, because essentially they have cell phones built into them and they're pulsing. I've got an electromagnetic gauge here and I test everything in the house and I go right up to the smart meter and it just blows it off the signal, but it doesn't continuously. It bursts, right? So those are beacons. You know, the other thing I would wonder is this all in rural areas? You know, is there some sort of pattern where rural areas and people and so forth are being taken out to drive people into cities? You know, is there some sort of motivation there as well?
Yeah. Yeah, who knows about that? I mean, who knows? Now you're trying to get into the mind of essentially evil people, and how are you ever going to ferret that out? How are you ever going to know that?
Yeah, diagnosing patterns. For me, it's all, like I said before, it's root cause. You know, addressing symptoms is especially in the American world, is never of any use. It's like, what is the root cause? How do you find, what's the motivation behind it? And I know we don't want to go super crazy and negative. Like you said, if it exists in the world, it does. And then you'd have to say, you know, we're observing this, but there's the powers that be that are involved in it. And then there are the other powers that be that are trying to offset it and address it and so forth. And it would be, you know, in our world, it's great to keep your eyes and your mind open so you can observe all of that and see it sort of happening on both sides.
That's right. Well, on that topic, trying to get back to the positive, I know that Ted's been trying to steer us that way all this time. The Cherokee Great Spirit, Unetlanunuhi. Okay, that's the name of the Cherokee Great Spirit. He would want us to see what was going on and to move toward the positive and to move toward what is good and to move toward what is balanced. And so this may be what you say is right. We've had a chance to see this. Some of these poor folks didn't see it coming. Bam, and they were gone. But those of us who have seen it, we can now move in a better direction, a positive direction, and move away from this and make this world a better place.
Well, and that's what Ted was saying a minute ago. You really have to learn from these lessons, right? You can't have your parents come in with the children and, you know, avoid all incidents in life, that you learn from those. And so where we are, it feels right now, is there's a lot of folks that need to just wake up to a lot of stuff, and us as well to a certain degree, and maybe others even more. And so we really have to actually witness, you know, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you truly surrender. And then you open your mind up, and you come back to ascending out of this whole thing, you know, and maybe this is us hitting rock bottom here.
Well, and I will tell you this one final thing, and then I'm going to shut up for a while because I've talked way too much. But the Cherokee Nation, United Cherokee Nation, is all about that. We're all about helping. We're all about making people's lives better, making people's lives more balanced. And, well, I mean, that's our focus, reaching out to other tribes, to other groups, and trying to cement some good things and turn this world around and away from this path toward destruction that they seem to be going towards.
Well, I did some homework before I got on the air today, and one of the tenets of the Cherokee was maintaining balance, which was crucial to their existence. And I think the lesson we can learn from Cherokee spiritual wisdom, ancient wisdom, is as valid as it was back in ancient times as it is now of achieving balance and harmony. There's a rock on the Popi Reservation that, for example, that's called the Prophecy Rock. And on the rock itself, there's a straight line that goes around the rock that if people learn to love each other and treat each other with harmony and respect and love, civilization will continue by this straight line around the rock. However, if there's another line just above it that goes up like this and then zigzags and then stops, that line represents destruction and the end of humanity if we don't live in balance and learn to love each other with love and respect. So I think the important lesson for humanity from ancient Cherokee wisdom is to try to maintain that balance and to treat each other with love and respect, because that's all about what the higher dimensions are all about. So I think that's a lesson for the rest of humanity. I mean, if the world is totally out of balance before the, and it needs to get back in balance again. So that's why I wanted to have you on today, not only because I am Cherokee too, but that we need that kind of message for today.
I absolutely agree.
Hey, Ted, there's a comment from one of your Facebook folks, Jan Eric Cartanson. She said, Ted, I know the answer to why they're burning down the houses and the forest. So she mentions the fact that this is from Agenda 30 and Big Agenda 21. So I guess something to Google and learn more about. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, I'm familiar with what they want to do. I want to get David's and Carrie's take on it.
What do you think, Carrie?
Well, Agenda 21, Agenda 30, I think it's all part of a master plan that the higher, some being, whoever it may be, has this agenda to depopulate the earth because they feel that they're superior and then everyone is inferior. And if you do some research on the Georgia Guidestones in the 70s, they put up these erected stones etched out of a quarry that they got the granite from, and etched in there what their agenda was. And, you know, I didn't believe it in the beginning, and I thought, well, let me go check this out. So my husband and I, we went there and we actually saw it. And it's amazing what they have and what their agenda is. And that's part of the Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030.
So, well, I don't know who died and made them God, but last time I was the Supreme Being, that they didn't have any authority to make those kinds of judgments for humanity.
They don't. And many people have tried to take down the stones, but for some reason they have not been taken down. But yet they're in the backyard. And on old Cherokee territory, which I think they should be taken down, because that's not what humanity, that's not the agenda that humanity has, or God has for, the Great Spirit has for humanity.
Right.
You know, if you're going to go, it's up to God to make those decisions for you. It's not man's decision. And that's where religion, I think, a lot of times has made those decisions and made God out to be something that he's not. Jesus, I think, tried to teach us something different.
Right.
So, and even though the Cherokees had the belief in the Great Spirit, they knew that they were only the good stewards of the land, and that it wasn't their decision to decide, you know, who stayed and who went. It's not it's not man's decision.
Well, it was fascinating. I know from what Chief Seattle wrote back in the 1850s, mm-hmm. when the settlers came into what became the state of Washington, he thought that the settlers' request to own land was a joke. He said, how can you own the land? How can you own the air? How can you own the water?
Right.
If you talk to the CEO of Nestle, he doesn't think that anyone should have a right to water. I guess we're all supposed to starve. But, you know, but you talk to some of these people and they act like they're not even human. No human would ever want to subject anyone to a lack of water, or even next you'll have a company that's trying to own the air. So,
well, they will. That's that. And that's the thing that's frightening. Right. I mean, they found a way to put a title to the land. So yes, as Chief Seattle said, will they own the air? Will they own the sky? Will they own the water? I mean, you know, it would not at all surprise me for someone to come up at some point and with some outrageous scheme and say, no, we're going to own this now, you know? And you go, well, this was a joke at one point, but I, when it first happened, I didn't understand the joke part. And they said that, some of you may have seen it, that Microsoft had patented ones and zeros. Well, it was a joke. I mean, you can't patent ones and zeros, but sure. That was the story. The idea that they had patented, so you couldn't use anything that had ones and zeros. That meant all the binary equipment and all this everything, anything. They would have absolute control. Well, of course, you can't do that, or you say you can't do that. I mean, I don't know, but these people are trying to find ways. If these people find ways to control these other vital parts of our lives, we got a problem here. And it has never been beyond the arrogance, or hubris is actually the better word, of certain individuals to attempt things like this. If they think they can get by with it, I mean, I don't know how everybody feels about all this, and maybe I'm opening a can of worms here, but the whole COVID thing seems to me to be an attempt to control people. And they've had no problem with hitting us with this. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's working too. It is controlling people because
it is.
You can see what's going on. You know, there's a couple more comments on your Facebook Live, Ted, which is wonderful. Michelle said, you know, the 2030 is a UN agenda, and there's a lot of public information on that. So of course, now that's disturbing to know that the UN and New World Order is behind this. And then Jan Eric Carsterson said, this is a very long time lap. This is to get the people so devastated to get to surrender to the New World Order. And I think that's what David was saying too.
The other thing, thanks for sharing that, Brad. I don't see the feed on it right now. I see the feed from our internal chat here, but thanks for sharing that, Brad. I appreciate it so much. The other thing, as we get closer and closer to the ascension, that there's been a lot of infiltration of various like groups and trying to sabotage our work. And I know some instances where that has in fact happened. But I'm not going to get into details. But I think everyone has to be careful today to trust your heart mind. If you are a light worker and somebody comes up to you and they're very friendly, or maybe they have a lot of money, you don't know where the money comes from, they want you to do this, this, and this, be careful, because a lot of people out there don't have the best interests of humanity at hand. And they're getting desperate. They want to stop us from ascending. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. As Data said on Star Trek, resistance is futile.
Because that's right.
The Borg said that, yes.
Because we are shifting into the fifth dimension. There is nothing at all that the negatives can do. And all they're doing is digging themselves in a bigger hole. Negative entities are slated. They will be gone from this planet within the next year or two.
Nice.
They eliminate it. I'm not going to say how. I leave that up to the spirits. I don't ask. But for many negative entities, they will be absolutely gone within 2 years. That's what I've been told. The reptilians are on their way out. They know they've lost the war. And they're trying now desperately to hang on. You have a very short window, if you are on the other side, to join us, join the good forces to make this planet a better place. But if you don't, you'll be sent to a planet, an Earth-like planet in the third dimension, on the other side of this solar system, in the same orbital path as this planet. It's a lower third dimensional planet. And you will be there for one Mein Katun cycle, which is approximately 25,800 years. Now, that's a long time to me, but hey, you know, if you look at geology, the creation is billions of years old. So let them have their fun. They've had their chance. This is the, and, but that's why President Kennedy has urged me to tell everybody to try to bring as many people as possible along with you and try to raise the consciousness, which is the purpose of my show. But things are changing for the better. And I appreciate my Cherokee friends so much for coming on today. We've got about 6 minutes left. And David and Carrie, I'd love to give you the rest of the time to please share your thoughts on spirituality and also anything else you'd like to say, what we can learn from these fires.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, well, I was going to give you the shot. I've talked so much here this afternoon. Well, Ted said it best. The Cherokee people believed in balance, okay? And it wasn't because they thought that one side was good and one side was bad. They just knew that it took both sides to keep the thing going. I've often used the example of a teeter-totter, okay? The person on the other end of that teeter-totter is not your enemy. They are the balance that makes it possible for you to go up and down and do the things you have to do. Without that other person, you're sitting on the ground with a silly look on your face. You know, and the Cherokee understood that balance and tried to make that happen. With the coming of the white man, and here I'm being negative again, forgive me, Ted. With the coming of the white man into the world, into our world, the negative took a serious leap forward. And, you know, they brought in what I call an industrial strength crud, which is still with us. And we have been doing everything we can to come out on top of it. It basically wiped out Cherokee religion. Tried to wipe out their language and their culture and their, a lot of the people themselves. So we have been fighting back ever since. Well, I say ever since, We have not been around that long. But the Cherokee have been trying to fight back, and different groups like the United Cherokee Nation Aniwea have been trying to fight back against this, to put the Cherokee back into their homelands, make their language prominent again, to make their culture prominent again, and make them and give them something that they can be proud of. And you know, their culture was something to be proud of. They were a milestone. I don't know how many of you know it, but they were actually a matrilinear society.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of people, some of the folks who came over called us a petticoat nation because we included women in so many things that we did. In fact, women were bosses of so many things. Mm-hmm. So, the Cherokee way, our motto is matters of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, beautiful.
That's what we strive for.
Well, as we ascend, I think, into the higher dimensions, David and Carrie, and everyone, and Brad and Don and Deborah and David and James, we'll shift from the logical third dimensional mind to the heart mind, which is 2,000 times more powerful. And yes, that leads you into intuition and leads you into God, if you will. And once you follow your angels, the advice of your angels and the supreme being within you, you can never make a wrong decision, because you're always doing it for the highest and best good. My producer just said we had 2 minutes left. So I want to first thank Deborah, Brad, Don, James, David, and everyone so much for coming on today. And of course, Carrie and David. And I want to give this time now to Carrie and David to wrap up your interview now. And I thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
All right, Carrie, you're up.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say that, you know, the Cherokees certainly have, as David said, matters of the heart. And it is up to each individual person as to, the Cherokees have a proverb. We have it on our website. It's, which wolf do I feed? And it is, you feed the good wolf or you feed the bad wolf. And it's each individual person's choice of how they, the thoughts that they have, the words they say, and therefore the reality that they create for themselves, whether it is a good reality or a bad reality. And it's all is indicative of which wolf you will feed. So if you have a chance to go and see, read the proverb on and read what the good wolf represents, which most people know inheritedly what that is, and what the bad wolf represents. And so it's each individual person's choice. Sure. And hopefully they find that the right choice, and they create that balance within their lives.
Yeah, and that website is UnitedCherokeeNation.net, in case anybody wants to know.
Okay, and there's quite a bit of really good information on spiritual values and all the good things the tribe is doing. And I want to thank you both, Gary and David, and as well as all my friends, John and Brad and Deborah and James and David, for coming on today and enlightening everyone with your knowledge and wisdom. The purpose of my show is to make this world a much better and happier place. And I know we're headed to a beautiful and happy future. With that, I'm going to hit my 528 Hertz tuning fork. It's got a Lemurian crystal here. And when I hit it, lots of love and light goes everywhere. And, Brad, you've got one. Good. Let's do it again.
Oh, yeah. Don't go anywhere without it. And by the way,
come on.
Yes.
All right, hit it. Let's hit it twice. Great. Oh, that is so beautiful. This brings love and light, David and Carrie. The tune itself is, the frequency is love. So I always like to do that on the air.
Great.
One of these, just send me an email to outofthisworld, 1150@gmail.com. With that, I hope everyone has a really beautiful and happy weekend. And I want you to know, even though we're having a tough time, we are getting help now from the Pleiadians on the rains in California and Oregon and Washington, I'm told now. And I want to thank Abba Halosaurus for helping and protecting us, as well as the Dham and the beautiful people of Shasta and the Hollow Earth. And I want to thank especially David and Carrie for coming on today and sharing their beautiful wisdom from the beautiful Cherokee Nation. And with that, I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy day. And again, thank you so much for supporting and listening Out of This World Radio. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a beautiful weekend.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Fifth density and plus.
Thank you so much, David and Carrie.
Hikaru hoshi.